Wasn't that fantastic? So our next speaker, you've already met. For the 3,500 people in Alltech, he is our leader. And I can tell you, and many of them probably have already told you, if you know Alltech well, that sometimes he's a challenging leader. It's quite challenging to work for somebody who, as our Vice President of Marketing, Catherine Kyo, said, has more ideas before breakfast than many people have in their whole lives. It's also challenging to have somebody who can see the things that we must do today and has an urgency about him, about doing them, that will get us where we need to be in 5 to 7 years. Indeed, the glimpse theme, the imperatives and the things we must do to get where we want to go and be successful in 2020 is very much a Dr. Pierce Lyons type of theme. He really shares what Professor McLaughlin told us about today, the leader's mentality. He is constantly sharing that with us through the positive messages he sends us every morning. Every Alltech person gets a 1 minute charge, a positive message, an idea that he has. He also does this through the training we call Back to Basics, which he personally leads and every person who joins Alltech goes through. But probably the most important way that he shares that mentality is traveling all around the world. I often say to him, you know, you could stay put. We could get people to come to you. But he loves to travel around, and he says, Mark, my job is to go see our people. Share with them the enthusiasm and the excitement, the sheer excitement of what we are doing. And remind them that we don't have customers, we only have friends. So please join me in welcoming my father, the founder and president of Alltech, Dr. Pierce Lyons.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. Thank you. Now, it's not too often you guess your son introducing you, and he commented about my traveling. And Mark, I think, is, and Eva is the same, a diplomat. And so with all this traveling that I was doing, one day Deirdre called me up and she said, you know, Mark had had some transgression and that I was to, in fact, correct this transgression. And I have to be hard and I have to be tough and I really have to lay down the law and I can't be coming home like daddy with sweets in his pockets and so forth. I said, okay, I'll do it. So I got home. Mark was downstairs, and Deirdre said, you got to go talk to him. I'm going to talk to him. So I went down. I said, Mark, now, this is going to be really tough on you, and this is going to be really tough on me. But you know, a man's got to do what a man's got to do, and a father's got to do what a father's got to do. So let's sit down and let's talk about this. Okay, Dad. Well, Mark, he said, can I say something? Of course. Like man to man? I said, of course you can, man to man. Daddy says, you're my best friend. With what? He said, the guy's 12 or 13. You are my best friend. And he said, when my friends talk about their dad, sometimes they say nasty things, and I never say a nasty thing about my best friend. Well, it's what best friends do, Mark, I said. And, well, I just wanted to tell you that Daddy said before we had our man-to-man talk. Okay. Right. Well, I said, Mark, it's like this. I said, you know your mom. I know your mom. She gets mad at you, then she's sort of mad at me, and so don't get that mad, and whatever you did, don't do it again. Okay, fine. Thanks, Dad, my best friend. But I said, look, we got a program here. I said, when you come back up into the kitchen, I said, I want you to make sure, I've just torn strips off you. This has been tough. Oh, yeah, Dad. So when you come up, I said, you make sure, you know, that's it. You're chastened. You're corrected. So I go up and Deirdre says, well, did you talk to him? Absolutely. Did you give him the gravity of what happened? I did. I had no clue what happened, but I did. Yes, I said, yeah, it's tough on me. Tough on me. And tough on him. Well, 3 minutes later, he comes up into the kitchen and he's whistling. And he's singing. Deirdre said, oh, yeah, tough on me. And I guess what I learned from that was that maybe Mark's got a good role as a salesman. Because he sure sold me. You know, this talk that I have the privilege of giving each year forces me to think of where we're going and what we're doing. It's a world of trust. Trust between you and us. Trust between you and your consumer, your customer. It's a world of trust. And in this world of trust, perhaps it was best said at the Super Bowl this year by a guy I used to consider to be just unbelievable. And this man was Paul Harvey. And I'd like to share with you the number one ad on the Super Bowl this year from Paul Harvey, because he has a message for you, and he certainly had a message for me. Enjoy it.
And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a caretaker. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to sit up all night with a newborn colt and watch it die, then dry his eyes and say, maybe next year. I need somebody who can shape an axe handle from a persimmon sprout, shoe a horse with a hunk of car tire, who can make harness out of hay wire, feed sacks, and shoe scraps, who planting time and harvest season will finish his 40-hour week by Tuesday noon and then painin' from tractor back put in another 72 hours. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody strong enough to clear trees and heave bales, yet gentle enough to yean lambs and wean pigs and tend the pink-combed pullets, who will stop his mower for an hour to splint the broken leg of a meadowlark. So God made a farmer. It had to be somebody who'd plow deep and straight and not cut corners. Somebody to seed, weed, feed, breed, and rake, and disc, and plow, and plant, and tie the fleece, and strain the milk. Somebody who'd bale a family together with the soft, strong bonds of sharing. Who would laugh, and then sigh, and then reply with smiling eyes when his son says that he wants to spend his life doing what Dad does. So God made a farmer.
So God made a farmer. But actually, God did something else. God made trust. And in that farmer, he put that trust. He did something else. He trusted that person with a purpose. And if you have a purpose and you give me a purpose, I'll find a way. Give me a purpose and I will find a way, and so will you. Give me a meaning to what we're doing, what you're doing, what your children are doing. And you'll step back, and I'll go with you. God made a farmer. You have to touch my emotion for me to make it happen. So what is your emotion? What is your passion? And how do you make it happen? In Ireland, we have the storytellers. And the storytellers are called Shanachies. And the Shanaki sits around, typically, incidentally, over tea. And tea is the Irish solution for everything. And the storyteller will tell that story, the Shanaki. So I want to tell you some stories. I'm in a class of 360 students. And I have decided to do chemistry. Why? I simply don't know. Why am I at university? Because my mum said we would go to university. And in this class of 360, all these scholarship people, and they've all studied chemistry, and I have never even heard of C standing for carbon. And I've never seen a periodic table. And let me tell you, the old thing about how do you define, you know, what relief like Rolaids, well, I needed Rolaids when I saw this periodic table. And having watched this periodic table and thought, what in the name of heavens am I doing here? I searched. And I searched for a passion. And one of the things which really excited me when I first heard Dr. Wang speaking was that she reminded me of the passion that which was ignited in me. And that was a passion when I came across, finally, this biochemistry and all the things that it could do. So I found my passion, my biochemistry. And I learned about Crick and Watson and DNA and RNA, and it was that time of magic. 40 years later, I shared a plenary session with Watson. So this boy who had gone from knowing nothing about chemistry, falling in love with biochemistry, shares a platform with one of the icons of our industry. Find your passion. Let me tell you about a stonemason. And these guys used to have to sit there with a chisel, with a hammer, and chip and chip and chip and chip and chip. And they did so for years and years. And they never really knew what they were doing. They were making a stone, chipping away. And then one day somebody said, do you know where this stone is going? And this stone, after all those years of chipping and shaping, this stone was not building a wall. This stone was building a cathedral. And they saw the passion then, and they saw the purpose of building a cathedral. And what it did was, for this mason, was awaken his greatness. And that's your job. And that's my job. It's to awaken our respective greatness. A leader's job, a leader's only job, is to awaken the greatness which exists in each and every one of us. There's this hen, and she's sitting there in her nest, and she's brooding there for 21 days. And for 21 days, she's looking after those eggs. And finally, those eggs hatch. But unbeknownst to her, an eagle has come in and put an eagle's nest with the other, an eagle's egg with the other eggs. And so when it hatches, the chicken, the mum chicken says, hey, 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 your job is to peck, to scratch. But the eagle's greatness was not for that. The eagle's greatness was to soar, was to fly. And we all have our greatness. And it's a question of awakening it and encouraging it. So write down this question, not for me, for you. What is your greatness? And how do you take this jewel, that your greatness, and polish it every single day? What is your greatness? And each and every one of us have a greatness. For 20 years, we scratched and we pecked. with a particular range of products. And for 20 years, we saw this difference. 20 years. More roots on one side, less roots on the other. And for 20 years, we scratched and pecked, and the product range really went nowhere. Did it go backwards? No, but certainly didn't go forward. And then a leader comes along, and the leader's job is to say, wait, stop, enough is enough. We had more potatoes for 20 years. We had more consistent potatoes for 20 years. We have my friend Eli here in the audience, and he grows like 500,000 tons or some figure like that of potatoes with this product from McDonald's. And yet we scratched and pecked. We're getting more corn, better grapes, and the list went on, and we still scratched and pecked. And so finally one day, I said, enough is enough. It was a Thursday, and we said, we're going to Iowa, and we're going to be there on Monday morning. And we're going to get all this information, and we're going to present it to, not Paul Harvey, but Paul Harvey's farmer. And we did. And what happened was amazing. By creating that space, within 3 days, we had 30,000 acres of product using the product. When harvest time came, we saw the results. Results that we had seen actually for 20 years. For example, more bushels. Approximately 1 ton more per acre with the product. 39 bushels. $263 more revenue for the farmer. And the farmers grasped it and they took it. And today I can tell you we will have 1 million acres on this product in Iowa, because God made a farmer, and that farmer will take ideas and run with them. So what did we do? We created the space to flourish. We removed the naysayers, the energy vampires. And we said, go for it, and the farmer went for it. Think about it. What we have done, what you have helped us to do, is have an extra Brazil in terms of corn. An extra United States in terms of corn. And is this important if we're to feed what will be 9 billion people? God made a farmer. A leader recognizes that you must take your best people, and don't put them into the problems, put them into the opportunities. That's the skill of a leader, and you have that skill. And so what are these opportunities? Well, do you realize that we could reduce the runoff of waste fertilizers? Currently, when you put 100 pounds on, you lose 50 pounds. It goes into the water stream, it destroys it, and we get this algal bloom out there in the sea. Well, with the new technology, we can cut that down, not from 50 to 10%, and that's a revolution. We've made space. You got to be curious. And you just heard from Professor Wang, how curiosity is what it's all about. And when you go into the Alltech headquarters, there's a little boy, a little statue of a little boy, and he has that magnifying glass and that mortarboard. And what it's telling you is that as we enter into those portals, or your portals, we need to be curious. Opportunities are everywhere. This world of ours has so many opportunities. But we need to leave aside yesterday's ideas as we take them. We have to farm the sea. 60% of our protein will come from water in the future. We have to farm the sea. But we cannot farm the sea and take fish from the sea and make fish meal and fish oil and take 4 pounds of fish to make 1 pound of fish. That is not exactly sustainable. And what is it about fish that we need and we want? It's about this. DHA, not omega-3 fatty acids, DHA. That's what fish are rich in. There's a squeeze on fish oil because of what Professor Wang told us. We all want more and better antioxidants as humans. And so that fish oil will not be available for our animals, for fish. So what can we do? I mean, this is not rocket science. The fish eat algae. The algae is rich in DHA. So why don't we grow algae from waste sugars? And why don't we grow algae from waste carbohydrates? There's 900,000 strains of algae we could be utilizing, but each and every one of them have their own uniqueness, but for us, it's DHA. And so we think of that DHA, and for 30 years, I've watched this factory in Winchester, Kentucky, and most of you, I think, saw the factory yesterday. And for 30 years, I watched this factory, and for 30 years, I said to Mark said, why, Dad, do you want to buy that factory? I said, Mark, if I had that factory, what we could do? Well, today we have that factory. And today that factory is one of only two in the world producing DHA, algae, in large quantities. And then I asked myself, well, if that's the case, what's the potential? The potential is enormous. I was in Norway last week. They have 1.75 million tons of feed, producing 1.2 million tons of salmon. And that salmon needs 200,000 tons of fish oil. And that's not sustainable. And the Sainsbury's of this world don't want to be doing that. And the other supermarkets don't wish to be doing that. But guess what? We have the original. We have the algae. So my prediction is that factory will sell out by Christmas. And my prediction is, and I need your help, why would we not have a plant in China? Why would we not have two plants in Chile? Why would we not have plants in Japan? Why would we not put a package together, put a franchise together, and share? Share with you the technology. Share with you something which will address a major problem in our industry, the sustainability of fish. It's all about dreaming. It's all about fun. When I dream of Lexington, and I think of Lexington, I think of where it came from. 1779, Lexington was founded. Now, I'm sure the founding fathers had one thing in mind in 1779. Because they were very farsighted. And they knew in 201 years they needed to get ready. Get ready for what? Altec. And on this river that they were getting ready for Altec, they built distilleries. 6, 7, 8 of them. Sadly, these distilleries are gone. But now, what can we do? Underneath us is the river, and it's called the Town Branch. And it's almost synonymous with water, the Town Branch. And so now our city fathers want to take the Town Branch and bring it up. Our dream is running below us, Town Branch. Our dream is something that I think in my lifetime we will see brought to completion, to reality. We're bringing back the town branch. And as we bring back the town branch, our whole city is going to rediscover its greatness. It's a simple thing, but that is not a simple thing. How do we bring that river back up and rediscover the city's greatness? And we started. And this is Deirdre's distillery, which is somewhat extraordinary because she's never had a whiskey in her life. She's never had a gin in her life, you know. And yet, she can create something like this. It's on the Bourbon Trail, and most of you were there. But this is but the beginning, this distillery. In 1503, before most of you were born, in 1503, a guild was established in Dublin, Ireland. And in 1503, this guild was called the Cooper's Guild of Ireland. And when you go back through the archives, you'll find there was one name on it. It was the third name. And that was Robert Dunn. Incidentally, another name was Kennedy. And that Kennedy was to go on and go to America, Jack Kennedy's ancestors. But this Robert Dunn was on my mum's side. And this is the last Cooper in Ireland. And his name is also Robert. So here we have 1503, and all those years later, we close down this last cooperage with Robert Dunn. But is that a dream? Or is that a prediction? Or is that just serendipity? I believe it's a prediction. And so what we would like to do is capture his dream and continue his dream. And we have. And that's what Bourbon Barrel Ale is all about. Taking those barrels which he and my ancestors would have made all those years, the 1.2 million barrels that we have in the state of Kentucky, and reusing them. And we produce this product. Well, where is the dream going? Well, let me tell you where the dream is going. The dream is going to a new brewery right on Town Branch. And the dream is going to this new brewery, which will catapult us, after a mere 10 years, to the number 5 spot in craft brewers in the United States. And we haven't even started to export to Brazil, to France, to Chile. And incidentally, any of you who want to get care packages to take on home to those countries, we can organize that. But this, I mean, this beggars belief. I mean, this is incredible. That we'll go in 10 years, and all that history and all that tradition, embracing an idea, and we're number 5. So what do we have to say? First and foremost, don't try to get it right. Get it going. Wake up your greatness. We all have that greatness. Create a culture. Because a culture is the only thing we have left which will differentiate us from other companies. Create your own culture, the Old Turk Songbook. Create your own culture, the 1 minute charge, first thing in the morning. Create your own culture and differentiate yourself. I want to change your clock. I want to change your clock with you. There's certain types of clocks. There's those clocks that governments have. And they go, tick, 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 and nothing ever happens. And then you have the next clock, and that's a clock in a public company, and it goes tick, 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 tick. And then you have a clock in a private company, an entrepreneurial company. We don't have a clock. We have a fan. And I want to change your clock into a fan. Our role, your role, is to feed the world and make our people healthy. Feed the world, make our people healthy, and have fun doing it. We want to create that space for you to flourish. Create the space for your young people to flourish. Remember what Ronald Reagan said, save me from lunatic bosses. So save your young people, save yourself from those lunatic bosses. Create the space to flourish. We want our land to flourish. We're only beginning, as Des Cole said all those years ago, we're only beginning to understand how, but 1 ton per acre is a great start. Our animals to flourish using nutrigenomics. And you got a glimpse this morning about the dimmer switches and the a few thousand dimmer switches that we can turn on and turn off, good genes and bad genes. We want to have our children and let them flourish and keep away all those negativities from them. Keep them like six-year-olds. Why, Dad? Why, Mom? Why? Let them flourish. So over the next few days, let's activate our greatness, your greatness. And help me activate mine, and I'll help you activate yours. And we have a few days to do so. And let's be like that flower and just emerge in all our magnificence. Because God made the farmer, but he also made you. So let's see what we can do. I have never had a job in my life. Never. But I've had one heck of an adventure. So join me on that adventure. Let's fly. And as we fly, maybe we should fly and imagine that we're doing this. We're ruling, we're flourishing, and we're ruling the world. Let's go forward. Let's go out. Let's flourish. And let's rule our particular part of the world.